When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchless.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 1st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Of course, we are covering all the spring training news from yesterday and focusing on all the starting pitching performances as well. We have only really two major things to talk about from yesterday. We have Brandon Rodgers getting injured. It was a shoulder injury. They had to pop it back into place. Which is a little unfortunate, and maybe that is a recurring issue for him this season. And AJ Puck has adductor tightness that might slow him down as he is a reliever for the Marlins, but nothing like the Musgrove and Seiya Suzuki and Glasnow news we got yesterday. If you don't know those, Glasnow, 6 to 8 weeks with an oblique strain. We have a mild one for Suzuki. It's about a month behind, but that still could be lingering. And then Joe Musgrove out for a decent amount of time with a fractured toe. And Gavin Lux, of course, with his torn ACL, which is horrible, horrible news. Now, Tuesday's pitchers and those performances, so many to go over. This is for pretty much from every single game. We had interesting guys to talk about. So let's go after it. We have Jose Berríos. He looked okay. I really wouldn't say that this looked dominant in something that I said, oh man, he's fixed. It does look like he has two different curveballs now. One that's more of a sweeper one and more that's more of a drop one. But really, it's more about the fastballs for me. And those are still not those perfect fastballs. And I think he's just still going to be the great undulator. He's not going to have a 5-plus ERA, but he's not going to have a sub 3-2 ERA either. Ricky Tiedemann went in for an inning, and it was insane. He was 99 miles per hour against Javier Baez. Blew a fastball by him, had a... The fastballs were elevated with intent, had changeups and sliders down. They looked good. But apparently he hadn't hit 99 before, and from the Twitch chat yesterday, there was some talk about the fatigue of velocity for Ricky Tiedemann in season. That is, he would go down to 95 by the end of the year. So don't really read too much into that 99. It's the spring. It's the first time he's done that, which tells me, okay, as a starter, he's probably going to be sitting 95, not 99. But it's really cool to see it. It was just such a fun, fun moment. And at some point in the season, Ricky will be in that Jays rotation. I don't know when. It likely will be, I'd say, June, July. The Blue Jays are very, they're protective of Ricky's innings as they were last year. He's really young. I think he's 20 years old. So they're not going to push him too quickly here. Zach Wheeler was on the other side through 96, was a stud. I mean, yeah. He's top 10 material. I mean, honestly, I think I have him at 5, right? If I don't, it's like Rodon and Woodruff. And, I mean, Wheeler is there. I pushed him down, I think, initially, but I was saying maybe I'll push him back up. I think I'm going to be pushing him back up again. He's healthy and good. 96 already. Remember last year he needed time to ramp up? He's already at 96 now. Things are great. Zach Davies is throwing a tick or two harder, and we don't really care about it. He avoided the heart of the plate. Good job. He had decent command today or yesterday. Awesome. Whatever. I don't want to chase that. Tristan McKenzie, I still don't love this. I didn't see anything different. He's not looking like he had massive weight gain that I wanted him to see that would suggest that his command was improved. His fastball is still kind of all over the place. The curve and slider. Yeah, I didn't really see anything that made me say, oh, wait, this is a different guy than last year. And last year, I think he got incredibly fortunate and should not be able to replicate that for another full year. Julio Urias seemed normal. The gun for that game for the Dodgers was seemingly low. That is, it was the Dodgers-Reds. Urias was around 92, 93, apparently. But apparently, that was a slow gun. So don't read too much into it. He seemed like Julio Urias. Noah Syndergaard was 91, 92 on that stadium gun, but we've been hearing more about his velocity otherwise, so don't worry too much about that. Nick Lodolo looked fine. I was maybe hoping for some dominance for me to get really excited. That's really the only thing I would be expecting at this point from Nick Lodolo. There are a lot of guys like that where it's just, yeah, this is the pitcher, right? And it's less about saying, oh no, there's something new that I really wanted them to see. I mean, they're just pitching like we've seen all year last year. And that's when Nick Dolo's like, he doesn't have anything worse, which is really good too. So cool stuff there. Same with Shohei Ohtani. He looked normal. We did get our first look at Shintaro Fujinami though. And I don't know if that velocity is good velocity yet. The camera angle is terrible for that game. He had a solid slider at times. He made some bad pitches and then some good ones. He had a splitter at times too. But he walked the bases loaded, right? He is a cherry bomb. We know this about Fujinami, that he is not a consistent pitcher. So be careful about that one. We're going to see some games that everyone goes, oh my gosh, Fujinami, three straight starts looking great, and then it's going to be Walk City again. That's what I imagine for the year for Fujinami. I'm going to be saying it a lot through the year. I'm going to say, take the chance if you want. It's going to be one of those shrug situations. It's up to you if you want to dance with it. Waldichuk, he had two walks in his game, three earned runs. We were hoping that Waldichuk had his command in this, and he didn't. So we're wondering who the number five is going to be for the Athletics, right? You have Rusinski, you have Fujinami, you have Blackburn, you have Caprillion. The number five is kind of up for grabs. Is it J.P. Sears? Is it Ken Waldichuk? I kind of assumed it would be Waldichuk. Maybe it's Kyle Muller. But Waldichuk is behind right now. He has to recover in his next opportunities. Austin Gomber got rocked with four runs. I mean, it's the only time really I'll mention a Rockies pitcher at any of these things. And we have a lot more than I need to talk about. I have half of my notes from yesterday, not including just the guys we got to watch today. I'm going to talk about all of those after this break.
Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom has created weight management programs that are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. So stop chasing health trends and join the millions who have lost weight with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Drew Smyly went, we didn't really know what the velocity was, but it looked all right despite the two earned runs. He had some good curveballs down, some fastballs that were up. It's nothing really that we can pull from here. Alex Cobb got lit up for four earned runs. I looked at the strike zone plot, did not look like a good location at all there. That's Alex Cobb. We'll see there. Ross Stripling came in after two innings, zero earned runs, three Ks. Encouraging in that way. Hopefully that is reminiscent or representative of where he is at. We'll get more in future starts. I don't think this is something for us really to get excited about right now. We didn't have velocity readings, unfortunately. Luis Garcia is a tick to two ticks harder, 95 miles per hour, and got 5 out of 30 whiffs as well on all of his pitches. I really have been thinking I have been too low on Luis Garcia, and I think I'm going to be increasing him when I do my top 100 next week. That might mean I put him into the middle of the 50s or so, especially considering the Astros have a good start at the beginning of the year. He's a good win guy. I think I have been too far down on Luis Garcia. Not really so much so, but in the realm of Jordan Montgomery and maybe a little bit higher than that. Yeah, that seems right. And who I'm going to be down on next week is Chris Bassitt. This is big news. I actually was debating getting a pitcher in my drafts. I went with Luzardo and I went with Drew Rasmussen, and I overlooked Chris Bassitt. I did not draft him despite Bassitt being higher. Why is that? He was 4 to 5 ticks down in velocity, down to 88.5. He was nearly 93 last year. That's a huge deal. And I already had some concerns about Chris Bassitt going to the Jays because of Rogers Center and all the really bad luck that the Jays had, which might be indicative of something larger when it comes to hit luck, and really Manoah just getting way overvalued in it. And Bassitt, might be hurting from that on top of this lower velocity. So I'm concerned right now. I'm holding off. I'm jumping in Bassett at the moment. Sean Burke went for the White Sox for two innings. We're curious about that because he could be the number five for the White Sox. He looked all right. Nothing spectacular, but it was not a bad camera angle, but a shaky one. I didn't get velocity numbers. Monitor how well Sean Burke does. He seemed fine at this point. Jeffrey Springs, we didn't get video. Two innings, three Ks against the Yankees. Good job, Jeffrey Springs. Yonny Chirinos went only one inning, not two. We're wondering who the number five is now that Glasnow is going to be out. Yonny Chirinos on roster resource was the number five. I think that's just going to be a three-inning thing in season, a bullpen game for the most part that I have to deal with the SP Roundup, and I'm going to hate it. Ian Anderson, oh boy. This is the worst news, I think, of yesterday. I wrote my sleeper article on Monday, live on Twitch. We put it out on Tuesday. And I think Ian Anderson pitched right before it came out. One of my sleepers was Ian Anderson because he could be the number five. There were good reports about this new slider and better command and all of this. First start of the season, three things you should know. Two ticks down on velocity. He didn't throw a single slider and he had terrible control as he walked three batters. Oh boy. I'm out on Ian Anderson until like something changes here. This is bad. Tyler Molly, though, I'm very much in on. Velocity's up at 94. He's back. That's all that matters with Tyler Molly. If he has his fastball, look, I know we want to focus on the slider, being like, oh, if he has a slider, then everything's really good. No, it's four-seamer. Four-seamer first. Slider's always been a supporting cast member. It'll show up a decent amount. We're not going to see, like, an amazing slider from Tyler Molly. It's going to change your mind. That's not what's going to happen. Same with the splitter or whatever. As long as he has a dominant four-seamer at 94 miles per hour, Tyler Molly is going to rack up the Ks and be a solid play for the Twins, at least five innings. Not necessarily six. He didn't do that often with the Reds. And I imagine the Twins might be hesitant to let him go the full six. But wins and collecting strikeouts, Tyler Molly is undervalued, I think, at the moment. And in TGFBI, please don't be listening, I am going to be targeting Tyler Molly as I went five hitters first, and the hardest thing to find later on are strikeouts. And Tyler Molly, I think, is one of those sneaky 170, 180 potential strikeout guys this year. Matthew Liberatore went two innings, zero Ks, no hits. That's all I got. I have nothing else. No more information was found on Matthew Liberatore, but that's cool. He was also inside that sleeper article, and I think people are overlooking him as the number six option for the Cardinals right now on a team that has had many injury prone guys with Jack Flaherty and, of course, Steven Matz as well. Kyle Bradish, everyone is going crazy about this. He's up a tick on his fastball and two ticks on his slider and curve. I get it. Everyone's been thinking, oh man, he had that nice little stretch at the end of the year. He did well against the Astros. The reason he did well in those two games was because his slider and curveball were ridiculously good. And guess what? He just had two whiffs on 26 pitches in this one. If you're doing quick math, that's an 8% swing strike rate overall, despite the increased velocity on his fastball. And I think the fastball, despite it being thrown harder, is still too hittable. It's the biggest issue with it. He gets cut action on it, which means it comes back toward the barrel more than you want a four-seamer to do so. And without a large whiff total, I mean, I can understand the velocity maybe making the breaking stuff better. No, that's not what we saw despite the increased velocity. So increased velocity can matter a lot. It absolutely can, but it didn't have the effect I wanted to see. Now, if it does in future starts, then okay. And that velocity maintains. It's not just him being amped for the first game of spring training. Awesome. It wasn't just those two innings. Okay. But as of now, I'm not shooting Kyle Bradish up my draft board. Sorry, guys. Luis Ortiz was two ticks down. However, that's 96.5. And he had more whiffs than Kyle Bradish with three whiffs and 30 thrown. That's a 10%. Really like a 9%. Still higher than Kyle Bradish. Okay, Luis Castillo went two innings, two walks, two Ks. There wasn't really much info on this. Everything seems fine. Logan Allen, the good one, apparently, for the Guardians. Now, this is what's interesting. There are three prospects: Logan Allen, Tanner Bibby, and Gavin Williams, who are all fascinating prospects. And there's also Cody Morris. So those are really four guys who could theoretically take an open spot for the Guardians if Zach Plesac just isn't good enough, right? Cody Morris is the clear one. If Logan Allen had an amazing sprain, there is a world where that would work out. Yeah, no, didn't really happen, so we move on. Corey Kluber and Trevor Rogers went against each other in the evening game. Corey Kluber was down 2 ticks, but you can't really read too much into it, especially for these older guys. This is what I always say. He is also a guy that's notoriously been a slow starter, so whatever. You can't really read too much into it. He didn't get a single whiff on any curveball or cutter. He got one on the changeup, but 0 of 18 on breakers. Not great, but whatever. We kind of ignore it. Trevor Rogers, velocity was normal, 95. That's a good start. One slider thrown. I want to see more of that, but he went 4 for 12 on changeup whiffs and had 4 strikeouts in 2 innings. That's good. It's not something that says, okay, Trevor Rogers, come on up. But it's not bad, right? It's more, in the beginning, it's more so about, is there something that's just absolutely overwhelmingly, oh my gosh, this is new and incredible. Normally that's new velocity or a new pitch that gets so many whiffs. And that's not what we're seeing here. So then the other side of it is, are they really far behind? Are they not getting any whiffs? Are they having bad velocity? Are they allowing a lot of runs, lots of walks, etc.? Now what's happening with Trevor Rogers? So all good signs there. Looking forward to today. We don't have too many we can watch on TV, unfortunately, but there is one you gotta watch. I'm going to be talking about him tomorrow. I can't wait. It's Andrew Painter. He is starting for the Phillies. If he has an amazing outing, I just can't wait to watch him. It's a good camera angle from my understanding if it's the Phillies one. Oh, cannot wait for that. He could seize the number 5 spot if Bailey Falter isn't good enough and Painter is just amazing. The Phillies just say, you know what? We need to win every game we can. Get in here, Andrew Painter. Domingo Germán is starting for the Yankees. It's a fun battle between him and Clark Schmidt for the number 5 right now. Let's see how he performs. We have Bailey Ober. Is he throwing high heaters? Does he have a good slider? He's the number 6 for the Twins, so not really many fantasy implications there. Andrew Heaney, hey, what's up? Is he throwing his slider down and glove side consistently? That includes 2 right-handers. I want to see that. Also, elevated fastballs, too. Dustin May, I want to see him throwing more four-seamers than sinkers. That's a huge thing for me with Dustin May. It's a much better four-seamer than it is a sinker in my book. Does he also get whiffs on his curveball and cutter? If so, Dustin May is someone who we were so hyped on in 2021 before he got Tommy John. So I'm really intrigued by this. I hope that he is excelling and does not walk anybody. Don't walk anybody, Dustin May. That was a big issue coming back from Tommy John last year. We've got the first second start of the year, actually, for 2 guys. It's Nick Martinez and Robbie Ray. Nick Martinez, is he going to be a solid number 5 starter? Because the Padres need somebody with Musgrove hurt now. That would be very good for Martinez to have a nice solid start, comfortably have that position. I believe he would get the Arizona Diamondbacks in his first start of the year if he were the number 5, same with Seth Lugo. Something to consider there. And then Robbie Ray, is he sitting 93, 94? At his best, he's sitting 95. At his worst, he's sitting 92. As long as he's not 92, that would be really cool. Also, I want to see the splitter. Please show me the splitter, and I would love to see that as the proper nullifier instead of the sinker. The sinker is not a good pitch. The last one here is Hayden Wesneski should be going. And there is a proper battle for the number 5 spot for the Cubs going on with Caleb Killian looking really good. Adrian Sampson not looking good. Hayden Wesneski with a really good outing here with that breaking ball could seize it, monitor that one as well. We have a lot of other starters who are not going to be on TV, and we'll talk about those tomorrow. But that is it. So enjoy the day of spring training. It is March. We will have regular season games this month. So make sure you have all the things that you need for your draft. Get PL Pro so you get your projections for the season. And of course, our live draft assistant tool. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And of course, if you get PL Pro and you get for the full year, you're going to get our DFS projections and our fantasy projections in season, including weekly ones. It's a huge deal. It's an awesome thing powered by PLV. You want to get it. You get access to the Discord, an ad-free website, all the good stuff, 10% off of all our merch. I'm forgetting all these other things. It's an awesome thing. So go to pitchless.com/premium. Go check it out today. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.